Scripture reading for today is taken from Matthew 25, 31 to 45. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he'll say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We as Christians are a very blessed people. During this season, we graciously celebrate the very special gift that God gave to us so many years ago, his son Jesus. It's the gift that keeps on giving to us. The meaning of Jesus' birth is meant to be a beginning, an invitation from God for us to accept his love and to have that love live deeply in our souls and to allow the light of his spirit to steadily shine in all of us and through us and for us. The meaning and the celebration of his life, his death, and his resurrection is something for us to embrace, to honor, and to always cherish. Sadly, there are people who disregard this precious gift and continue to live with an attitude of self-indulgence, of greed, and of disdain for others. Those people remain blind to others' needs while thinking only of themselves. They focus their attention more on their own gain than on God's purpose. They ignore the message of Jesus. They ignore the part when Jesus said, "I assure you, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me." Happily, there are many other people, including many of you here today, who use this precious gift that God has given and follow the calling that he has for each and every one of us. It's a calling to live our lives as disciples of Christ, accepting and sharing his message of hope, of peace, of love, and of joy through our words and our actions, And to do that with our family, with our friends, and with people we meet along in our journey of life. We're called to live as Paul wrote to us in Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Isn't that what giving and receiving is really all about? Oh, the presents that we receive under the tree are wonderful, and they're a lot of fun. I remember as a kid, I couldn't wait for Christmas morning. I remember sitting up waiting for Santa Claus. I was supposed to go to sleep, but I wouldn't want any part of that. I wanted to stay awake and hear Santa Claus come. I remember getting very irritated because my parents were downstairs doing something. And it's like, come on, Mom and Dad, you got to go to bed or else Santa Claus isn't going to come. There are presents that bring us joy, like maybe that new tie. And there are other presents like the vacuum cleaner that are just waiting to put a smile on their new recipient. I think about all the gifts that I've received, and there are many. And a lot of them do bring me joy, but what I remember the most are the people. The people who have been a cherished part of my life. They are truly a blessing. And I think for you, you have people in your life who are truly a blessing too. They are the real gifts. I learned from them that the most precious gifts that are given and received, they weren't bought in stores or online. They didn't always come in beautifully wrapped boxes and bags. I think about the most memorable gifts that I've received, and think about the most memorable gifts that you've received. Maybe it is that interesting tie, and maybe for you it's like, yes, new vacuum cleaner, new blender, I can hardly wait. But I'm sure that there are many others that didn't come out of the stocking that was hung by the chimney with care. Many of the most precious gifts that are given and received come from the heart at any time of year, at any place, and from anyone. Personally, I think I've received more than I deserve. This one of the most memorable gifts for me came on a beautiful spring day when I was in college. On this particular Saturday, I had taken my fiancée, Lori, to Boston to experience Boston Common. Boston Common in the 1970s is far different than it is today. It was an adventure, and a lot of weirdness happened on Boston Common. Lori was fascinated at the Park Street station when we got off and the train drove away, and we started to watch the rats come from underneath the tracks. She was a sociology major, and she wanted to study their social order. I was a political science major and wanted to get upstairs and see what was being protested for the day. Upstairs, at the entrance, we watched the Hare Krishnas dancing around and chanting, and those were different. We also watched protests against various things occurring up there. One of them that I remember was protesting apartheid in South Africa. And we thought, okay, we can agree with that, but is the South African government going to stop doing what it's doing because we on Boston Common told them to? So we decided to move on. What got Laurie's attention the most was the number of homeless people. She came from a farm in rural upstate New York. She had never experienced homeless people up close like that before. As we were walking through them, some of them were asking us for money, others were just kind of grunting. And there was one short, stocky homeless man with uncombed gray hair who looked very just hopeless and down. He kept looking down on the ground. Lori was looking at him, and he just kept looking away. She went up to him and started talking with him, said hello to him. He didn't ask us for money or anything. He just looked like he needed a friend. Lori eventually invited him to come with us to lunch at Brigham, saying that we, meaning me, would pay for it. At first he said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't need people to buy me lunch. And finally she talked him into it. He ordered a chocolate milkshake. This is at Brigham's across the street from the Common, Brigham's doesn't exist anymore. We ordered tuna melts, shakes, and fries. I offered him some of my fries, and he didn't want any of that. Lori got him to accept half her tuna sandwich. During the lunch, he told us about himself, told us stories about World War II. He said that he had been on Omaha Beach on D-Day, and he'd been in some other battles that were pretty gruesome. And the descriptions of what happened were just heartbreaking. Billy was suffering from what today we call post-traumatic stress syndrome. He hadn't been treated for it really then because they really didn't have treatment for it. And I think today there are many vets who experience it, and I don't think the treatment's all that great. There's still many of them that suffer with it. It had affected him so much that he had lost his wife and his three children, didn't even want to speak with him anymore. He asked us about our life. He wanted to know what college was like. He found that very entertaining as we were telling him different things that we were to. We spent a long time with him and felt like we had known him for years. After lunch, we all walked back across the street to the Common. We kind of honored that he was introducing us to some of his homeless friends. As we headed towards the public gardens, on the way through the Common, we passed what's today the Frog Pond. Back then, it was just this dilapidated, ugly-looking thing. And he stopped right in that area. And we said, come on, we're going over to the gardens. And he said, no, I can't. And we thought, why not? He said that people don't like it when people like him go beyond a certain point. We couldn't understand why there would be this barrier. Why couldn't he cross that barrier that separates the world of the unfortunate from the world of the people who don't seem to want to know or care about the poor people? As we started to say goodbye to him and moved on, Billy touched Lori's arm. He said that he had a gift for her. He unbuttoned his coat, reached into his shirt, and pulled out a Catholic cross. It's actually this one. Pulled this out from under his shirt. Said that it had been given to him by a nun who gave it to him to remind him that God loved him. He said that it meant a lot to him, but he wanted Lori to have it to remember him and to remember that God loves her too. She didn't want to take it from him. She said, no, 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 this means more to you. You keep it. But he kept insisting. I watched her look into his eyes. It was like she was trying to look into his soul to find out what was this really about. she took the cross. And she was very choked up knowing that this dear, sweet, homeless man wanted her to have a gift that meant so much to him. When I think about it, Billy was really a 20th century example of the poor woman who gave her last two coins to the temple. Just like that poor woman, Billy gave away his most valuable possession. Lori was deeply moved by that. She gave him a hug and a kiss on the cheek and thanked him for the special gift and the warm kindness. And we walked away. As we were walking away, I couldn't understand it. I asked her, "Why did you take his cross?" That may have been one of the only few meaningful things that that man had in his life. And she told me, she said, she figured out that this was his way of repaying us for our lunch invitation and for our friendship. And she realized that for Billy, this wasn't only about giving a gift. It was important for him to give to others. By accepting his gift of the cross, Lori was not only showing her appreciation, but she was also giving him a gift as well. She gave him the gift of respect and of dignity. That's something that we all need. Lori couldn't understand why so many people pass by these homeless souls every day without giving it any thought. At the time, before then, I mean, I saw the homeless people before. I just walked right by them and hoped they weren't going to ask me for money or mug me. I didn't understand them. That experience on that day, we learned that we couldn't change the world, but we could make a difference in the lives of the people around us. She started by befriending this one man, listening to his stories, and sharing a meal with him. By putting herself into his shoes, she showed him compassion and empathy. Think about the times when someone listened to you and showed you compassion and empathy in your time of need. It's such a valuable gift that we all need and that we can all give. But it sometimes seems that it's just not there that much. Jesus listened. I've been studying how Jesus did his ministry. Most of the time, he listened to people before he would really speak because he wanted to know what they needed. We realized that Billy had given us a much larger gift than whatever he expected it would be. Billy's cross would serve as a reminder of the day when God called us to serve his people. Perhaps this simple act of accepting Billy's gift and embracing him as our friend was the first step in fulfilling what God was calling us to do in our lives. About a half year after that experience, Lori died. Her death took a big toll on me. A few weeks after her funeral, I was rushed to Emerson Hospital with pneumonia. I had basically stopped taking care of myself and I didn't really care. I was in too much pain. In the emergency room, I experienced clinical death for 1 minute and 48 seconds. What I remember of the time away, and I don't know if it was a dream or what, but what I felt, what I recall, I felt like I wasn't wanted in heaven either. I was told that I needed to go back, that I still had things to do. I took that as rejection by God. What I didn't understand at the time was that God wasn't rejecting me at all. He was showering me with his love and light and saying that there was still a purpose to fulfill in my life. I just wasn't sure what that purpose was. For the next 3 years, professionally, well, I graduated, I got another degree after that, and professionally I was doing great. But emotionally, I was hurting big time. I cut myself off from my friends, pushed my family away, and kept the suffering to myself. I didn't want to talk about it, and I ignored God. And sometimes I pray to God and ask, why are you ignoring me? You ever do that before? Be in so much pain, and you go, God, where are you? And then you push him away. As all of you know, life can be challenging when we encounter obstacles along the way. But God always has a way of showing us that he's there with us and he's for us. At times, he even sends us special gifts, and they come in the form of other people. New Year's Eve, 1979, first night Boston, I went by myself. At this point, I wanted to start getting back in the world. I'd gone to the event determined to create a new experience for myself. And when I was there in the beginning, I felt like this is a huge mistake. I was alone and feeling extremely lonely, and watching other couples and groups of friends having fun didn't help, and no one was speaking with me. It reminded me that Lori and I had gone to the very first night Boston at the end of 1975. It was a much different event back then. A young woman around my age in this event, 1979, asked if she could look at my schedule. We talked about what events seemed interesting, and I asked her if she'd like to come along with me, and she said yes. We had a great time watching street performers, musicians, and enjoying the cultural events. When the event ended, she thanked me for inviting her to come along and said that this night had more meaning to her than I would ever know. She said that her life had been absolutely terrible lately, and that morning she decided that she would go to first night, determined that by the end of the night she would walk in front of a Red Line train and end her misery. She thanked me for being an angel and said that I showed her that there are still good people in the world, that I somehow, somewhere, showed her that there's hope. I was surprised. I didn't feel like an angel. All we did was just walk around, watch different things, and talk. I didn't see what the big deal was. I wished her well and told her the first thing that popped into my head. I said to her, I hope you know that God is with you and loves you. I thought, where did that come from? I never said that to anybody before. The truth is that I needed that as much as she did. God was talking with both of us. She gave me two wonderful gifts that night, the gift of friendship and of fun. I regret that I never told her how precious and timely those gifts for me. I wish that I had. I denied that woman the pleasure of knowing that she had helped me as much as I had helped her. I learned that I needed to live with more of an attitude of gratitude and show better appreciation for the gifts that had been so generously given to me. I also learned that even when we are hurting, as we both were that night, we can still make a difference in someone else's life. God still can use us to help heal. I could feel God waking me up. That woman reaffirmed that God had not abandoned me at all. I saw God was both trying to heal me and to remind me that I did have a purpose in this life, just as he does for you. Think about those times in your life when someone, perhaps someone you just met, made a difference in your life. And I'm absolutely sure that you have made a difference in the life of someone else, perhaps without even knowing it. Isn't that God at work? As the time passed, I realized that the mission that Lori and I had started back with Billy, the homeless man, didn't have to end with her death. Over the years, I've listened for God's voice, and I've heard it in many places, including on top of mountains, by the ocean, and through other people. It's led me to serve in ways that I never thought was possible after Lori died. Right after I met that woman, short time after that, I started training as a Christian crisis counselor. When's the last time you heard God speaking with you? Who has He put in your life to help you to get where you need to be? One of the most important people in my life has been Kathleen. When I first met Kathleen several years ago, she invited me to work in her ministry with youth. Among the many opportunities we participated in, perhaps the most fulfilling happened at Camp Aldersgate in Rhode Island. We saw many miracles happen there. While co-directing the Living Arts Camp for several years, or filling in as counselors or in other programs, we always enjoyed planting the seeds of Christ's love and of Christ's light and watching those gifts flourish. And we grew ourselves as Christians. Kathleen and I pray to God every day, throughout the day, for all parts of our lives in every way. We ask God to use us as His instruments as He sees fit to do His work in the ways that serve Him best. We all take the time to pray to God and to listen to His response. God helps us to be true givers of the gifts that matter the most. Over the past few years, we've been working with many volunteers who serve the homeless and the financially troubled people in the Brockton area. One of the biggest joys we receive is interacting with our guests, helping them to select seasonal clothing or listening to their stories and listening to their concerns. They come from many different backgrounds. They're not exactly what you think they might be. We've met one who was a rocket scientist. We met another who was an astrophysicist. We've met lawyers, contractors, high-tech people who became technically outdated or aged out of the workforce. Yes, some of them are drug addicts and alcoholics. And some of them are veterans. Some of them are people living with mental illness. Others are women and children who have been battered and beaten. Not all the homeless people are unemployed. Some of them are working at low-paying jobs, but they don't qualify for benefits. They make just enough not to get it, and they don't have enough to get a place to live. There are the people who have a place to live but have to pick and choose which monthly bills, if any at all, are going to get paid. But most importantly, these people are much more than their circumstances. They're like us. They're children of God. God loves them and cherishes them just as He does us. What those people want, they want to feel human. What they're looking for is to be treated with respect and dignity. During a recent visit, just a couple of weeks ago, Kathleen was helping a lady pick out some bottled beverages to go. A young man came up, reached in front of them to try to get the juices. Kathleen reminded him that these were for this lady. She asked him to wait just a moment. She wanted to give each person her undivided attention. When Kathleen finished with the lady, she took a couple of the bottles of the juice right over to him. He smiled at her, thanked her, and then offered up a prayer of thanksgiving and a blessing for her. On another occasion, a man came up to me and said that he appreciated everything that the volunteers are doing. And we get that quite a bit. He said that we were all a blessing from God. It's amazing to see that what goes around comes around. It's eye-opening to see that while we are doing ministry with them, they're often doing ministry with us. They even talk with some of the volunteers and help them with their problems and pray for them. Many of these people have a very deep Christian faith. Author Leo Battaglia sums up the spirit of Jesus' ministry quite nicely when he said, "The majority of us lead quiet, unheralded lives as we pass through this world. There will most likely be no ticker tape parades for us, no monuments created in our honor, but that does not lessen our possible impact, for there are scores of people waiting for someone just like us to come along, people who will appreciate our compassion, our unique talents, someone who will live a happier life merely because we took the time to share what we had to give. Too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. It's overwhelming to consider the continuous opportunities there are to make our love felt." Denzel Washington, in talking about his faith, illustrate the essence of giving and receiving that's important for all of us to remember. He said, "At the end of the day, it's not about what you have or even what you've accomplished. It's about what you've done with those accomplishments. It's about who you've lifted up, who you've made better. It's about what you've given back. No matter what your circumstances, always remember that you are needed and you are wanted. You are valued and appreciated, and you're always loved. If you're having a difficult time in life, know that God is there with you. He's patiently waiting and ready to lead you into the life that you have in your heart, the life that He planned for you. It's in sharing the simplest of gifts with family and friends and people you meet on the journey of life that makes a difference and helps this world to be the place that God intended it to be. May you always make room to accept God's invitation and to receive His mighty love and to let His light shine through you. May you always celebrate the gift of Christmas in all its glory as a season that keeps on giving day after day after day. May God bless you. Amen."